Melina Marvin says she's been in love with Southeast since she visited Duren College. She interned for watershed protection councils in Haines, Skagway, and Yakutat, and she went on to teach Tongass science and policy classes, which were held on the water, in kayaks.
This last year, teaching my course, I started learning more about the industrial development plan for the cross-border watersheds, you know, with the Stikine and the Taku, and got pretty concerned about that, started digging into it. And so when I saw the job with SEAC come up, I saw that as an opportunity for me to really weigh in and have a say on that issue.
Marvin spent the past 5 years as communications director for an Oregon group called Klamath Riverkeeper. It campaigned to remove major dams on the salmon-producing river. That's one of the reasons she got the job.
I hope that she brings a whole other bunch of new tools in terms of how we communicate with our members and the community at large.
Clay Frick is president of SEAC's board of directors.
She's dealt with very complex issues and the Klamath River issues, such as water rights, tribal concerns. So she brings that experience to the table.
SEAC's new executive director says the organization will continue opposing the Juneau Access Project, also known as the Lynn Canal Highway. The full plan would extend the capital city's road system north to a terminal with ferries sailing to Haines and Skagway, but Marvin notes there's only partial funding.
The facts are that the Juneau Road would not connect Juneau to the road system, which I think a lot of folks don't understand, but would in fact connect it to the Kensington Mine. So we're looking at a $500 million subsidy to a private corporation, which really employs a fraction of the people that fishing and tourism industries do, and those are the industries that depend on the things that the road will destroy.
That and some other anti-development positions put SEAC in conflict with much of Juneau's business community, its current mayor, and the Parnell and previous administrations. The organization, however, has undergone some changes in recent years. It's tried a collaborative approach to development conflicts with more negotiations instead of lawsuits. One example is the Sea Alaska Land Selection Bill, where the group worked for and eventually endorsed compromise language. Such stands led some environmentalists to form a separate organization, the Greater Southeast Alaska Conservation Community, or GSAC. Marvin's view is the more the merrier.
I look forward to, you know, working cooperatively where we can and agreeing to disagree where we can if that's what it takes. But I'm pretty confident that coming in, I'm opening a bit of a new chapter for SEAC.
The organization has worked with the villages of Cake and Kasan and other tribal governments on environmental protection and alternative energy projects. SEAC continues to fight large timber sales and is staunchly opposed by the logging industry, but it also works with small mills, tourism operations, and some other regional businesses.
What makes us a little bit different than some of the larger national organizations is that we live and work alongside everyone else here, and so we see a lot more sides to the story, and that's something we have to juggle, and it's something that we have to work out with our friends and neighbors.
We actually are partnering with SEAC on their food securities efforts.
Shelley Wright is executive director of the Southeast Conference. The Regional Economic Development Organization has long battled with SEAC, but Wright says she's seen some changes.
So I think some of their work they're doing is becoming a little less legal and a little more community-driven, but I still believe that they are very supportive of any of the lawsuits that happen within the Tongass of Southeast Alaska.
SEAC's previous executive director, Lindsay Ketchell, resigned last fall after about 5 years on the job. Marvin says while some issues may have changed, the mission remains the same.
Most of us don't have time to hang out in the legislature all day or read 30,000-page environmental impact statements, and our not-so-glamorous job here at SEAC is to do that on behalf of the public and then let you guys know when those crucial times are when your voice can make a real difference.
SEAC began in 1970 as a Tongass National Forest Preservation Group, mostly fighting large-scale logging. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting in Juneau.